What's going on, everybody? It's your man, Austin Champ, and you already know I'm in the building where magic happens. I'm at the HyperX Arena in the Luxor, ready for another beautiful episode of Username Taken, the podcast that focuses on creators and how they create, gamers and how they game. And today, I am beyond fortunate to have a moment of time with somebody that has been covered by Fox News and ABC, been known as a rising star in Las Vegas, and also came in as second place, the runner-up of the Life is Beautiful Rising Stars competition last year. Q, Quinn Ayers in the building.
What's going on, y'all?
How are you feeling, my man?
I'm good. Pleasure to be here.
No, it's a pleasure to have you, honestly.
Appreciate
man,
y'all.
You've made quite a name for yourself out here in Vegas. I feel like when I was talking about who one of my next guests was with a lot of my friends and family, even the people that didn't necessarily know that we've been friends for a long time.
Right.
They all have heard of you here in the Valley, people that consume that live entertainment culture that are out here in
absolutely
the streets. How has that been for you?
It's been an honor, man. I mean, just getting back here since getting back from college from playing ball, it's just been it's like ground zero almost. It's just like I didn't really have a base here music-wise because I was always playing baseball here, but I think people, I mean, just like yourself and even the community of Las Vegas have really helped me kind of build that fan base out here and kind of explored my options and got into venues and places that I've worked to get into since I started doing music.
Well, you had been away for a little bit, like you had kind of mentioned, but you're born and raised here.
Yeah, born and raised here. This is home. This is why I came back, man. I love Vegas. This is a special place. There's a lot going on, a lot of opportunities.
And it's a rarity for people to really, like, be from this place and then stay here and things like that.
A lot of people talk down on Vegas just because LA is close. I don't care. Vegas is better.
Do you what are like some of your fondest like growing up in Vegas childhood memories? What's your go to
We're like in the heart of it, man. We got like the That's Excalibur true. Right here. That's we got true. The Circus That's on the way true. Here. By the way, don't touch a Circus. Y'all can do whatever you want to the strip in downtown. Do not touch Circus, man. If anything, just redo it, man. I don't want to see that place go down. But, I mean, Vegas, man, is a special place in my heart because this is where I grew up. This is where I became an adult, really. This is where I really made my childhood friends. But, yeah, I mean, Vegas is a special place in my heart always.
And you grew up more, like, in North Las Vegas, which
is... Yeah, North Las Vegas.
People don't even really know that's a thing. They think kind of it being the upper area of the Strip, but it's actually far past that, past Craig Road.
Craig, right there by Craig, man. That's probably what I'm off, so... But yeah, it's Northtown's special too. But yeah, there's a lot of special places in Vegas, man. We can go on that.
yeah, it makes you grow up fast for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a place that I feel like I got to see a lot of people that were like us learn a lot of lessons quickly. And
right, 100%.
It's a special place, like you said. I'm curious when the switch, like you said, you were doing sports, a lot of sports. Your father Jack is a coach. You got a brother who is an athlete that was kind of ahead of you on the charge.
Right.
Did you always kind of have that music in the background? Like, you just loved music? You wanted to create
it? I think obviously sports came from a young age. Obviously, with my dad playing at UNLV and then obviously getting drafted by the Cubs, baseball was like the thing when I was first born. But music was always around. I wouldn't necessarily say it was like a driven force in my life. It was just something that was there. Like, my grandpa plays piano. And, like, I'd always been a fan. It was kind of my sister would put me on to, like, NSYNC. And then my brother would put me on to, like, Kanye. And then my dad was putting me on to, like, Coldplay and The Fray. So it was, like, a big blend of, like, I think I had the best music, like, charcuterie board, like, growing up. Like, it was just, like, this thing given to me. And I was like, damn, this stuff's tight. And then when I got to college, that was kind of when I didn't really fall out of love with baseball. It was just kind of I got to that D1 level and I was just kind of like, is this really what I want to do? Like, I'm playing at Texas Tech, I'm playing University of Washington, and all these big schools, and it's like, it's nothing that wasn't like fulfilling to me. I was like, all right, cool. But I was like, what else am I good at in life? Like, what else do I like? Like, outside of baseball, if this doesn't work, like, and I never really had like a huge, like, I'm going to the MLB. Like, you know how some people get like, I'm NBA or nothing. Like,
right.
At the end of the day, dog, like, I enjoyed sports, it paid for my school, but when I really broke it down, I was like, I love music. And I was like, what am I good at in school? And it was really always writing. Whenever my teachers would pull me aside, it wasn't for math. It wasn't for science. It was like, damn, where'd you make the story up or whatever, like whatever it was. So I bought a mic and I'm not going to lie, I was horrible. It was horrible. I mean, that's everything though. Like, you don't just pick up a guitar and turn into Jimi Hendrix. So it's like, it's one of those things is like, I just kind of kept going at it and started to realize what I liked in some music and started to pull from my influences and then started to create. And that's when I started to be more true to myself and I started to make things that actually resonated with people.
And what made you feel like it was music? There's a lot of other, you could have become, you know, a Picasso. You could have done auto work, you know, been a master car modder, you know what I'm saying? Why was it music? What's the pool?
I think it was just like a mixture of obviously loving it, but also just the fact of just, I'm not very like I can talk emotions, but like I think like music was like the, when I started, even just writing is like the state where I like feel like the calmest and like everything I can feel like I can get out emotionally feels right. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of like, is like, you know, when like you're talking to someone and like you're explaining your emotions, but it feels like it's going 1,000 miles per hour and you're in the moment. You're like, damn, I can't even get out what I have to say. Music is like almost like that, but you're pulled back and you got that, you can get everything off your chest. So it's almost like venting. Cause I remember in that time period when I was down in Division One and I was just like, bro, why am I sad? Like, and I was like, I just sat there and I started writing. And even if it wasn't resonating with everyone, it resonated with myself. And then I got better, obviously, but
That's one thing I see a lot in your comments of your videos. Everybody's saying like this is therapy. Like all you like,
luckily,
like,
yeah.
Man, I'm here before 100 million. You know, before everybody gets here. Like you're getting like that love from that homegrown me, just scribbling to myself.
Right.
Just decompressing.
That's the specialest part about it, man. It's like the early on support. Like when I don't like, I think that stuff's so cool because it's like you don't have to care about my music, and it's like people like to attract to what's hot. And I wouldn't say I'm anything crazy big yet, but it's cool when people are like, oh, this is just tight. Like, I actually listen. That means they tapped in, you know? Like, because it's not, like, the craziest numbers. I'm not putting up, like, millions and millions of streams. It's just like, let me give this a shot, you know? So that's the coolest thing about people supporting it nowadays.
We kind of, my brother Amir sent me a video. Was talking about how the quantity leads to the quality, you know? And so you continue to pave that path. You hit you were hitting those nails on the head a million times until you learned you could do it without looking right.
100%.
Do you feel like you have imposter syndrome? Do you feel like you're in your zone? Like, do you feel like a true artist now? Because a lot of people are really, you know.
I feel locked in. I mean, that's, I think, cool. That's the best way to describe it, is locked in. I don't think I'm at like where I need to be. But I mean, for the most part, I know that the thing about the athletic side is it's always driven. Like, I got to get shit done. If I'm not productive today, then it's a waste of day. So I take that into music, and I feel like a lot of my music friends that I've met, not all of them, but there's just a lot of people that are complacent with where they're at, and it's like, I'm like, that's cool, like, life is beautiful, awesome. I want to be on that bitch next year, like, you know what I'm saying?
Hey,
like,
it's possible.
It's cool, they know me, I know them now, like, they've seen me perform, they like me, so now it's just a thing of just being consistent and staying at it. So it's one of those things, is staying consistent is the most important thing, so.
You have a favorite spot out here that you perform?
Man, I got to give all the love in the world to two spots specifically. I'm not going to leave out one of them. The Space, shout out Mark Chinook. They got a beautiful team over there. And then Taverna Costera is right here in the Arts District, actually. Okay. Jeff's awesome. They really help upcoming artists. Because now, and Vegas is such a, like, big time. If you think about it, music, like, you don't just go see some smaller, you don't see a lot of small artists here. If you look at the tour dates and they're like, oh, why is they not coming to Vegas? It's because Vegas only books people that are Billboard names. And it's tough. So when you have venues like that, that book bigger acts and still reach down to the community, it's like a breath of fresh air. Because I'd love to get in Brooklyn Bowl and open for some of my favorites. You know what I mean? Like, I'd love to get in T-Mobile and Allegiant's like crazy. Like, I'm talking like realistically, like, if we're talking like where the stature I'm at, Brooklyn Bowl should be attainable. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
and
that's not a shout at Brooklyn Bowl. It's just more of like a... Like, Allegiant and T-Mobile's, yeah, like, that's the big
it's
leagues.
Props to you. Not shot at Brooklyn Bowl, but, you know, that's a stage you could rock. I mean,
yeah, 100%.
You see the proof is in the pudding. You know, any shot anybody sees of people at your shows, people are rocking out. You know, you got to get an opportunity to follow this man. You got a website. I seen quinnairs.com.
Yeah.
People can easily go see where you're at. Yeah. Easily tap in with all your music.
Yep. Man, I try to make it as easy as possible, man, because attention spans are like, what, 3 seconds, 5 seconds nowadays? TikTok made it 30. It's just getting shorter and shorter as we keep going on. But, the site is just like the hub, man. It's just, I needed to get that, made that, and I was like, all right. Get it.
Oh, it looks clean. I was
thank you,
and I was doing my prepping, looking around and stuff.
It
was easy work, like you said. You made it easy, and
I want to make it that
I want to say that's something that comes, like, without giving away, I don't know if you talk about your age at all, but like you're a young person that's been around all this technology for so long, like you've been digital marketing minded, you've been brand minded, whereas
I think branding's huge, man. You gotta have a direction. I think people have a thing of just like, oh, I put it out and this is that. It's like, it works for, like, I think it works for more so like rap. Rap's awesome, but like with rap music videos, you think about rap music videos very rarely unless it's like the higher pedigree of like Lil Baby. Like, if you watch Lil Baby's early on music videos, and even sometimes now, it's just like there's really no story to it. But like when you got like into the label and stuff, it started to have some story to it because they're like, you need some direction because you're getting that big.
Right.
With like alternative music, it's like I can't grab a camera and go run and gun. Mm. Like there needs to be a story. There needs to be substance. And there's ways to shoot that beautifully. It's just a little more tedious and more you have to be thoughtful when you do it.
And you got some beautiful art shots, gorgeous shots. You said a lot of artists have reached out to you.
Yeah.
And tried to like help you and incorporate, you know, they want to shoot for you, they want to do things like that.
Yeah, it's been super, I've been super fortunate. Like Rayshawn McCormick, Isaac Childs, I mean, the list goes on. Jacob Ivanick, Mark Bricker, I mean, he just helped in the last video. So many guys out here that have just reached out just because they saw my music first. And some people have just been there since the jump and been super fortunate with that. I mean, that's a blessing. Like, you can't, people's time is, that's for people to give me their time and do that and believe in art that much is like otherworldly to feel it. Yeah.
You got Quinn Day. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, you're always
Quinn's Day, yeah.
You're twisting the brand, doing that
yeah,
line of thing.
I started doing those Quinn's Days. Yeah. Every Wednesday I started covering stuff. Cause people were like, can you please cover this? Can you please cover that? And I'm just like, fuck. I'm like, all right, let me think about a way I can incorporate this and not make it like just some throwaway. So yeah. I was like, I started doing Quinn's Days, and I started actually just doing alternate covers of my own songs too, just like twisting, like stripping my own songs back. Because I have one dropping tomorrow, actually. So Quinn's Day Eve.
Well, yeah. So this, we'll drop this episode on a Thursday, so it will have dropped on the day after.
Hopefully after a Quinn's Day, man. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to go see that one. Yeah. Just dropped on that Wednesday, and then go back and watch all of them because you know you're only growing and it's showing.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited to see. See, I've been rapping on this pod the whole season. You know,
you're growing and it's showing.
How would you describe your music to people?
I think it's, I think touching. I think a lot of the things that people like, I think that's a lot of things, the comments I get. It's just like it resonates home with, it's just scenarios I've been in. I know other people have been in. That's why I do it. And it's like I'm just putting the canvas out there and y'all can take the paint and make whatever picture you want. I'm supposed to just give you the canvas. So it's like, I try to do that with my experiences. And I know people felt heartbreak. People have felt anxiety. People have felt depression. People have been in relationships where they can't get off their chest, where they need to get off their chest, or feel like they've been disrespected and maybe they want to get some stuff off their chest. Cause that's the thing about my music. There's hype songs. And then there's the songs that are just stripped back. And you're like, wait, this is the same artist. It's like, my music's a journal, man. It's just a journal. Like, people are like, what is it? Like, this and that. Like, what's the genre? I'm like, it's like a blend. It really is. Like, I know it sounds cliche to say, like, alternative. But I think the best way to describe it is, like, alternative, hip, and pop instead of hop. So it's like alternative, hip, pop. Yeah, that's the best way to put it because that's the best way to describe it.
Alternative, hip, pop. You know? Three super smooth, all-encompassing words of the vibe. I get it because, like you said, it does bring you on that spectrum of, like, you know, you feel the heartbreak, but then you also feel the freedom. And you feel
there's some fun songs that put out there for just like you and your friends in the car. You know what I mean? Because I don't ever want to be that artist. It's like, hey, yo, throw in that Quinn, let's all cry. Yeah. You know, that shit's not fun. Like, you gotta have some mixture. Not everyone feels sad all the time. I don't, at least.
It's funny too, because like, there's times where you'd be super happy, but you want to listen to a sad song.
Right. You know? Right. Exactly. It's like, hey, let me level this out. Let me get the playing field right.
Yeah, like just so I remember what it kind of felt like.
Right, let me get back to ground zero real quick.
Taking the cold shower, like, just in case I get broke again. Like, right. Let me remember what these feel like.
Exactly.
Man, so what's your next kind of goal? I mean, we're kind of in a new year. The year is already flying by, it feels like. We're about to jump into March now.
That is crazy to think. I think the next goal is just continuing to put out good music, good quality videos that people resonate with. Keep doing Quinn's Days. Keep doing stuff with people like you guys in the community that are doing something great. Opening for bigger acts. I think that's one of my main goals this year. I think getting to Brooklyn Bowl is probably top of that list, is just getting to open for like someone in my realm, you know, like, I think we're trying to get a show for Area 15 in April. I can't say too much about it, but it's a bigger artist. So like, hopefully that'd be super cool to get. Can't speak too soon on it. Obviously,
no, yeah. So we just go send all the vibes to that.
Yeah, absolutely. But just keep doing that. And then obviously I just dropped an EP in January. So it's been cool to like have that out. And then I can, like, kind of...
Well, when you're doing a show for me here on the stage.
That's when the EP show. We can do that. But we can do the end of the year EP show, too. But even, like, another show. Because I'll probably have an EP, probably... Another project probably isn't in the works since we started the year off with one, I think. Because the singles game is so, like, good. Because it's, like, asking for people to give you, like, 10 minutes of their time is crazy in terms of music. But if it's, like, hey, like, here's a 2-minute track, whenever you find time, it's just a single. Not too much to indulge in. Because
I have a favorite artist, but like you even have a favorite artist, even if they drop like a whole album, it's like you may not even listen to that full thing until like you're really tied in. Like, you right. know what I mean? And that's tough.
I'm that driving listener, you know? I'm
yeah. Like, top to bottom. There's a lot of casual listeners. Like, and that's yeah. how you got to think about it. And the casual listener is more prone to listening to a single than a project. So
I feel that.
That's the best way to put it.
And then on top of that, Universal Music Group took a bunch of their music off TikTok, right?
Yeah, shout out Universal. I ain't there. Good. I got my shit up there.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a great spot for
labels. Are cool, man. Like, they're a beast, though. Like, they'll give you the money, but mm-hmm. they'll do stuff like that because you have no control of it. So that's why I'm happily independent.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if the money's right,
right.
The money's right. And I don't care what no one says.
Do people create with your songs on the
on TikTok? TikTok's a beast, bro. I haven't really dove into the influencer side of it. It's just kind of like one of those things. It's just like if it hits a market. But it's definitely one thing that I want to do more of is just kind of like reaching out to influencers and getting that thing kind of going, because that stuff's important. I've never been like a front camera guy, you know, like, did I make the song this summer? Like, nah, yeah. man, like, that's not me. I've just, do you like the fucking song? Do you not? Like, you feel me?
You gotta go for the, like, for the angle of the guy who, like, you know, acts like he created this song, like, with AI or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't show his face, and it's really your song. And
yeah, people really just be making up crazy stories, too. People are like, I just got my ass beat and then wrote this shit in the studio. And just like, and then people are like, all right, word, let me hear this shit. It's like,
yeah, what? The guy's, like, running down the street, like, saying Mega Man. He's, like, running, like, the girl's running down the street.
Yeah, like, I think it's, like... I don't even want to take shots at anyone, but it's just like, that shit's so corny to me. Like, it's just like there's a lot of like people that just do stuff. You're just like, scroll, like, fuck. I think shit that's cool is people that take time, man. Like, shit that's like, oh, damn, that looked like an A24 film. And this fool was just like talking about his emotions. And that song was fire. The visual was fire. I connected with it. Cause like one of my songs that Lyrical Lemonade covered, it was literally, I told my brother and my videographer, I was like, we're going to get up at 4 a.m.
Right.
We're going to go to the airport tunnel here in Vegas. Mm. No one's going to be in there. I've been scouting it. I was like scouting the area for a while. I was like, no one's gonna be in there, and then we're gonna drive like 25 miles per hour. The cops get us. And I had my videographer in the back seat, and the sliding door was open.
Mm.
And I was in the bed of the truck. And you know that tunnel, right? Yeah, it's like a cool, like, so cool, like really cool tunnel. If you've been in there, you like it. So we drove through it, and that visual, people still talk to me about it. That shit was like in 2019. Mm-hmm. And like, people still are like, bro, that video in the back of the truck was crazy. What was the budget? Budget was me, my videographer, and my brother. Like
a group chat.
Yeah, it's like, that shit's tight. Like, that shit's tight. Like, go fucking create. Like, the front camera creating is just fucking dead to me, dog. Right. Like, that shit's just like, we see it too much. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm talking about, too. Like, did I make the song of the summer?
Yeah, like, you know, the being able to craft something, you know, that's an art piece as well.
Like, I know times are different. Things, like, I know times are different, and TikTok is, like, a free marketing tool, and it is. Like, use TikTok.
Right.
But, like... there's a way to use things to still be creative. Like, we're artists at the end of the day. Like, we're artists and front camera.
Yeah, like what do we benefit from people accepting the lowest quality content?
Yeah, like...
you know, I get every once in a while as a flavor, but...
Yeah, they'll mix it in for sure. Like,
to grow.
And there's ways to do it. Like, hey, like, this is my new song. Like, check it out. Like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But even that to me is just like, it's not me. It's not right. It doesn't feel organic to me. Like, something that feels organic to me is going out of my way and making something seem cool. Make it feel like, oh, this is what kind of I was envisioning in my head. Like, I don't ever write a song and like, damn, this shit would look fire on front camera. What? Like, nah, man. I leave that to the people. Like,
that, man. Hey, and people see it, because if you go and see your, you know.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm just sitting up here spitting bullshit. Yeah.
You got real art, you know, with great sound and a really cool vision. And I can tell that your journey's really been something special, man.
Thank
so,
you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
What do you feel... is your favorite song or favorite video that you shot?
Man, my favorite video. I like all my videos, but
that's a good
answer. I think Opens is the one that's close to home, just because it was like a small, it was like just like me and my videographer, and it was just so simple, and that was like what got me my first recognition. It's actually what got me my management, funny enough, that video alone. And then I think Broken and With Love Cure Broken and With Love Cure are just like very like big production ones. So it's like, of course those turned out beautiful, but at the same time, like, the one that hits close to home is Open, just because it was just so homegrown, so natural.
We're going to take it to a quick break. Mr. Quinn is going to hit a small performance for us in studio, and we'll be right back.
Someday we're going to fall out of love. Losing my last chest on me, I just love my sound, I'm a... skip town, fuck around, man, I think I'm really coming down. When's the next bus coming down? Are you doing for me? Is it really what it seems? It's just a fucking dream. You told me one more week. Someday you'll regret what you did to me. Hey, what you did to me. Missed all your sympathy. So what is what is? So what is feeling? I saw you before. Feelings are ceiling. Thought you were all my life, yeah, for good. I love you so much, don't know that I should. So what is what is? So what is feeling? You're my heart, baby, deep in my soul lately. I got you feeling crazy. Why you so shady? Don't even call me, please. 4 in the morning, shit. Say she knew that I'm weak. I don't know what to think. Drain my emotions, sink. Out of my heart, get weak. I'm on my pain, then speak. I'm on my pain. All alone, I think. On my own, must be. You told me that you'd be there. With you so complete. Now I don't know me. Swear to God, you said you'd be there. Said you would be there. Yeah, you said you would be there. So what is, oh, what is feeling? I saw you before. Feelings are sinless. Thought you were all my life here for good. I love you so much, don't know that I should. So what is, oh, what is feeling? So what is, oh, what is feeling? Yeah, I told you before, feelings are sinless. Yeah, I thought you were out my life, yeah, for good. I love you so much, don't know that I should. So what is, what is, so what is feeling?
And we're back in the building. Here with, of course, Quinn Ayers. Very excited to have had you perform for us, man. Yeah, you
appreciate
know, y'all. I got to come out to a concert again soon. I know that you've been tearing it up, and I love to get to see all these little recaps and pieces, a content that you create from just all these shows that you're getting. Like, you're really getting known as that guy out here, and appreciate, I know you probably, man, be as humble as you can be about it, but you know, I'll be the one to say it with the megaphone that you really, you're doing something special,
that, man.
And
means
I know there's a lot of people proud of you. You said you're going to the studio after this.
Yeah, right after this, actually, yeah.
Man, so you work overnight, right?
Yeah, I work overnight at Meow Wolf, so
okay.
Shout out Meow Wolf. Shout out to Mega Mart. Those are my people over there.
That's our neighbors.
Yeah, it's I basically just do, it's like Night at the Museum, funny enough. I just basically work there and no one's in there. And I, funny enough, I cook up on the clock. Shout out my manager. But hey. So, I mean, hey, I make sure that place is secure. I've been there. I've been doing that for 2.5 years, so that place hasn't. Not one thing's happened bad. That thing stands tall in the morning, so.
Love it. So you just been holding it down, then you get home, get some rest usually.
Yeah, usually sleep from like 7 a.m. to like 3 p.m. And that's like during the week, man. Everyone's working, so I ain't missing much.
No, I did Graveyard for like 2 years for a minute, too, and I felt the same way. Yeah, everybody always, you know. Oh,
Graveyard
so
slept
hard.
On. Like, yeah. The sleep schedule's crazy, but like if you have it on days that are right, like I literally sleep from 7 to 3 Monday through Friday, and it's like I ain't missing anything. There's no beach clubs aren't going up. There's no parties. There ain't no big events that I'm missing. Like everything's past 5 during the week usually.
You're just conditioning the super rock star moment.
Yeah, for the future. Just getting warmed up.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna be operating during these hours. It's best to get acquainted with them.
Right, absolutely.
What's a day in the studio like for you? Do you you know? That's kind of how it leads up usually right now because you are working.
Yeah,
but
I mean, the day in the studio is just, I mean, it depends. I mean, there's days where you have stuff written. There's days where you have maybe a collaborator come in, like a producer, and you guys talk over ideas. You guys run through some stuff. Maybe you start on the guitar. Maybe you start on the piano. It differentiates always. Like, I've approached music differently each time. Obviously, I have a writing process, so it's like you get a hook going, you get a verse, we get a bridge, we get a chorus, whatever we need, whatever we want to talk about. Like, so it's just structuring it out is definitely a thing that you want to do a knockout first, and obviously then the process is to go in to record it, do the take, see what kind of tones, see what kind of delivery you want to go, what sounds best, what swings, what doesn't. And then after that, it's just like the nitty gritty of just like, okay, I like these strings here. Or I don't like piano here. I don't like how my vocals sound here. Maybe less reverb, maybe less auto-tune, this and that. There's a lot of things. And I've been fortunate enough to work with some very talented people.
And it's crazy. You know, on our whole conversation, you never had said that you did any music things. You were doing sports. You were doing school.
Right.
So you're just picking all these things up without any traditional training.
Yeah, I kind of just learned on the fly. I'm not like the most musically inclined. Like the people I work with are like the people that put me on game. Like Josh Culberson, aka Backend Projects. He's huge with what I'm doing right now. He mixes and masters a lot of my stuff. Okay. Helps with a lot of beat making and song structure. We talk on Discord all the time. He's out in LA. And then Adam Haig, he's out in Denver, like the Denver area, just north Colorado. He's pivotal to like pretty much picking me up when I was in Colorado at college and being like, hey, man, this is the kind of sound we need to do. And we did it and it worked. And those are the type of people that make me better. And they've done nothing but push me. And the thing that's cool about them is like they'll be my biggest haters. And I think that's something that people don't have a lot. It's like those close friends are just like, yeah, bro, this shit's ass. And it's just like. Word, dog. Like, yeah. I appreciate that. Like, because the thing is if no one tells you that and everyone's just a yes man, you put it out, and then the people are just like, this shit is trash. You right. know what I mean? So it's cool. It's good to have those people around you. And like, respectfully, they do it. Like, we're close enough to the point where it's like, yo, this shit is trash. And it's like, right. All right, bro. Like, it's cool. And then we just build. And it's like, that's the kind of relationship you got to have with those people. Because if you take shit too to heart, it's like, you're never going to get better.
Right.
So that's something I've definitely learned. Like, there's been times in the studio I'm like recording, and he's like, that ain't it. And you're taking like Open, for instance, the song that we just did the music video on. Like I remember I did like God knows how many takes, bro. I did like 25 takes just to get like, I think it was like the first verse because it had to hit. And I was like, I was sitting there, I was like, I was getting pissed. And it's like, that's when you, but like that's the stuff that people don't see, man. Is like there's a process and art that goes into a lot of this music stuff, and it can come from different forms of mixing and mastering, singing vocally, but it's a whole process for sure. There's a lot of stuff that people don't understand. It's not just a YouTube beat and just hopping the Logic or whatever DAW you're using. It's a lot of nitty gritty that goes into it.
Like you said, you're not rapping.
No,
it's lyrical.
Yeah, it's lyrical with
but you're singing
with shades of hip hop. Yeah, I'd say a lot.
Are you working with a coach? You want to find a voice coach? Is that something in your path?
I think down the road, I don't have the best voice, but I make it work. There's some stuff that there's something to it. Like if you think about it, like Nirvana. I'm not trying to like compare myself to these people. I'm just saying like Kurt Cobain didn't have the best voice.
No,
a lot of people know that too. The Fray didn't have the best. Like there's a lot of people like Snow Patrol. Like there's people that just have like that something about that natural tone and just like damn, it just sounds like someone's like just talking
from
to me.
Your heart.
Yeah, like there's something about that there's something more beautiful than that than like the auto-tune reverbed out pop vocal that you hear nowadays on like Sirius Radio. It's like geez, like there's no way this girl hit every single note. But and fact of the matter is she probably didn't. It's just.
Maybe once,
people have like there's people with great voices, but it's just like I don't think I have an insane voice, but something I do bring to the table is just being creative and innovative in ways to overshadow that in a sense. But like at the same time, I feel like I've definitely grown as a vocalist, and I'm not where I need. Like I said, none of my music is where I need to be, but I work every day to get better at it. So it's my craft. So
right, like you're not trying to lean into right now. Trying to find that you're trying
yeah
to
like
really
maybe like later on like
down.
Say I got like a deal or something like that and they wanted me to get better and like but I'm not gonna just like fish out money on a vocal coach. It's just not something that's a priority to me right now.
That's
my
cool.
priority is staying consistent, making stuff that's true to myself and just learning on the fly, because the thing is YouTube University, man, it's the best university out there. A lot of people don't know that YouTube University, man. If you need help on anything, just look that up, man. I mean, I went to college, I got a degree, and let me tell you, I've learned more on YouTube.
We post a lot of YouTube videos.
I love you, I love you, UNC, but sorry about that.
No, it's real. It's just super cool because even I ask those questions because like I got to learn a lot about music and things like that,
right.
You know, through my education. And like you say, a lot of it gets kind of thrown out the window. You know, it's a good foundation, but in general, like everybody's perfect technique is different. You know, nobody can really...
And people just learn. People just learn things later in life. Like people just grasp things later. Like it's not like I don't think people. I think people like see things and they're like, oh, I'm dumb. I can't grasp it. But it's just like, not like for like you just give yourself time with things, man. Or like maybe just the way this person was teaching it wasn't ideal to you, and that's common. Like, I've had some professors that have been solid, and I've had some professors that suck. I've had some YouTube videos that I'm just like 5 minutes in, I'm like, this shit's trash. And like, good. And then there's some people that I'm just like, man, I get what this fool's saying, and I stay on the video. And that's why everyone has preferences, man. There's streamers you like, there's streamers you don't like, there's baseball players you like, there's baseball players like. So,
you said you have a streamer you like recently, right?
Yeah, Twitch. Not Twitch. Twitch is what he's on. Sketch.
Oh, that dude, Sketch.
Sketch and Jinxie are like the tandem that are just.
Yeah, he was in the building the other day, so it's funny that you had mentioned him, because I was like, oh wow, that's cool that as a real life example, because he seemed like he didn't know why he was here.
Bro, he's
and that's his whole shtick. It obviously seems like
he's easily one of the funniest people on the.
Yeah, I love that. Man, we got it. Next time Sketch is in the building, I have to call you in so you can you guys can.
Bro, I'll be here. That fool is the man. That fool is the man.
Do you feel like that your father was a big part in kind of helping you learn how to structure your life and regiment out things that you wanted to be successful in, and or like your parents in general? Like,
yeah, my mom is the holy grail. I mean, my mom puts down the path. And,
hey, shout out moms.
Yeah, because my mom's been going through it since me and my brother were born. She's been just like, and then obviously my sister is in Florida, but she's much older than me. So it's just one of those things. She's just been around boys, but she's the one. She's like, whatever. If mom's happy, we're happy. But yeah, my parents in general as a whole just definitely gave me a good upbringing. Obviously, you know them personally as well. So it's just like having that structure in life I've been blessed. Because, I mean, I know not a lot of people have it like I have it, in terms of just, like, having two parents that are there and they support everything. Like, even when I switched from baseball to music, like, I was not that I was scared to tell my dad, because he's always been a very, like, caring.
Coach,
yeah,
of the team.
Yeah, coach, like, just a great dude. So it's just, like, one of those things, like, I wasn't really ever scared to tell him. Like, I was, like, ready to veer off from baseball into music. He was pretty much, like, a fan off rip, you know. It was funny, though, because there was a concert, one of my first shows. My dad doesn't know I know this, but my dad asked the guy at the venue, and he was like, because he had seen me do a couple shows, like I opened up, and my dad was like, hey, is my son wasting his time? Like, he asked that, and like, that's reasonable. It's just a dad just like looking out for his kid, like, is my kid just wasting his time?
Dude.
And the funny thing was, the venue guy was like, just you'll see tonight, and like, didn't even give him an answer. And then that night, we fucking, like, it was, like, a sold-out crowd. And my dad was sitting, like, back row. And, like, it was just, like, one of those things. It was, like, came to fruition. Just, like, damn. And it was, like, all college kids, too. Like, it was my whole college town that came out. Like, the athletes and stuff. And he kind of just saw a first glimpse. And even, like, back then, I don't even think I had a hit song, really. Like, I didn't really have that one yet. And I still don't. Like, there's just ones that are huge. Like, grew up a little bigger, that made me grow. Like, so I'm trying to get that million. I'm trying to get the million streams for sure. It's been cool doing a couple hundred thousand here and there, but... so it was cool, like, because I was thinking about that even back then. Like, I didn't have, like, that one that people knew me for. Like, I think it was, like, Lemonade at the time, and it was, like, maybe 30K. And that was cool, but it was, like, 30K on, like, this, and then on SoundCloud, too, so it was, like, across the board type thing, but it was cool.
Are people still on SoundCloud, still popping?
Bro, shout out SoundCloud. They just verified me, so I love SoundCloud.
SoundCloud verified.
Yeah, SoundCloud just gave me the blue check, man.
Cool.
That was tight. I just got an email the other day about that. It was funny. It was, like, literally the other week, and... Yeah, but shout out SoundCloud. People are still on SoundCloud.
That's awesome.
I'm still on SoundCloud.
No, that's dope. No, SoundCloud was the wave.
It still is, man. It's just, I think it's just more starting to cater into the alternative lane, because that's where music's going. It's like hip hop's kind of gotten that stale. People have kind of gotten stale of hip hop. Not that it's bad.
Right.
It's just there's a lot of people that sound the same, and alternative is just a blend, and you never know what you're gonna get with alternative. So it's like a little more prone.
Right. Sometimes we'll just take something that's like mainstream and bad, but it's alternative because it's just better than
I love hip hop though. Like, hip hop's what I grew up on for sure. Like, I have some of my favorite artists are in hip hop for sure. So,
no, I feel that it's just a different landscapes. I feel a new wave coming though. There's the
indie folk is in right now.
Yeah.
If I had to say myself, like, indie folk, like that whole little just singer songwriter, like Zach Bryan, like that type of lane, Morgan Wallen. Like, I don't even like Morgan Wallen. I don't know how bro beat the cancel culture. That's just me, though. Shout out Morgan Wallen, though. That's crazy.
Do you have a dream collaboration?
Dream collaboration is probably... I mean, this is, like, cliche because he's, like, the man. But, like, Post Malone, obviously.
Okay.
Dominic Fike is another one.
Huge.
And Mike Studd.
Okay.
He's just Mike now. But Mike is, like... He used to play D1 at Duke. So he used to play D1 baseball at Duke. So that'd be just... It's just same path, like two Division I former D1 baseball players that make kind of the same alternative hip hop type stuff. So, yeah, those three probably are up there.
Hey, well, that's putting it all into the ether. Hopefully, it comes your way, man. Because I think that your trajectory is It's exponential. Like I said, you get Vegas to love you, you get Vegas to support you in this transient, you know, kind of no new friends kind of desert landscape that we live in. You see, right. People, it's sometimes difficult for them to grasp onto new ideas or new people.
Right.
You know, unless you know, it's a very common thing, like, oh yeah, you don't really meet anybody unless you get a job out right. here.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, it's nowadays, it doesn't even matter what degree you have, you just have to know someone.
Right, you know, it's really difficult to, like, get into friend groups sometimes out here. So the fact that you've permeated, you know, into the true Vegas local scene,
you're
right
that.
There, you know, 24 hours from greatness every day.
Right, 100%. Yeah, just got to keep at it and stay consistent.
Well, I want to know for sure a little bit about this baseball stuff that you had going on. You had played D1. You were playing right field, second base, third base, all that stuff.
Man,
right?
I was all over the place. Yeah. There was actually a point where there was, like, COVID hit and they had me catch. I was like, bro, what? Why am I catching right now? Like, and at that level,
the
like,
highest people, level, bro.
They're throwing hard as hell. I was like, bro, what the hell am I catching for? Like, I never caught in high school or anything.
Bro, need a bulletproof vest.
That was the funniest week of practice, man. My teammates were dying. I was like, this is not funny, man. My thumb is killing me.
And then, just being able to, like, get that relationship with the pitcher, like, where you're understanding what's going down and what his tendencies are and things like that. Like,
that's the thing about baseball, man. It was so fun to just, like, I think if, like, if I'm delusional, I'm delusional, but I think I was well-liked amongst my teammates. I was definitely, that was, first things first, like, at the end of the day, scoreboard goes off, stats get archived, like, all you remember is, like, the people, like, and how people were and how shit went down and, like, those times when you were at Texas Tech and we're just getting our ass kicked on a Friday night because we're mid-major and we got paid to be there. Man, that shit, that's the fun shit. Like, it's just thinking about, like, all that stuff. And, like, I still talk to a lot of those guys today, a lot of those guys I played with. They're, like, some of my best friends. They will be for the rest of my life. But it's just, like, baseball is it's any sport, really. It's special, man. You just grow bonds with people because you're with them more than you're with your family. So.
Nah, I feel that, man. I'm excited because I know the MLB The Show 24 is coming out soon, right?
It is, man.
You gonna jump on it?
I'm gonna jump on it, but I gotta, man. That launch trailer was weak. I'm not gonna lie. Hey, Ramon Russell's got to get it figured out, man.
Did you like 23?
It was good. It was good, but, like, the launch trailer for 24 legitimately looks like they were playing that thing on PS2. So I'm not a big, like, gamer advocate in terms of that stuff, but it's just, like, when I was watching that as a buyer, I'm just like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Madden, bro. Nowadays, they need competitors. Like, NBA Live needs to come back and push 2K.
Well,
I need
coming.
That back.
It's coming.
Yeah, I need that. We need the competition again because people get complacent. And 2K, I'll put it right here. 2K is probably the best sport game out there in terms of just completeness.
And that's on my job. We're gonna get into some MLB 23, a little bit of a home run derby.
Let's get
our hands.
MLB The Show is for sure my childhood game though. Like, but it's just disappointing because I'm like, damn, 24 is coming out. And the thing is, that shit can look terrible. I'm still gonna buy it. So
hey, they got us.
they got me in the palm of their hand. But hey, need some improvement.
To watch the full episode, including the Omen Game Time segment. Go watch our YouTube video at youtube.com/HyperX Arena Las Vegas.